Well, we're coming to the end of our series through Matthew's Gospel of all that Jesus said and did. And as we've gone through it, it's been very conveniently broken up into manageable chunks so that we haven't had to spend all day here on a Sunday looking at a particular section. But this morning, I'm going to take a broad sweep of chapter 24. As we come to the end of Matthew, the chapters are big in themselves. They're a big story and they're difficult to cut up in pieces, although we've just had a little bit of it read this morning. And in this sweep of chapter 24, in which Jesus begins to speak of the fall of Jerusalem and also the end of the age when he'll come again in power and glory, I've just focused on a few verses, but I'm going to paint a big picture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so easily distracted by the things we have created from the voice of your Son, Jesus. As he continues to speak to us through your holy word, grant us a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit so that Jesus' words are made alive to us. Help us not to lose sight of your eternal reign, and may our attention in the here and now be that of faithful servants awaiting their master's return. Amen. Jesus had a master plan. He knew where he was going, when and how he needed to get there, but the disciples didn't get it. Jesus insisted that by being delayed, it didn't matter, told people who worked out who he was to be silent, spoke of the importance of the one lost sheep over the many, and said how the very least would be the greatest. He talked to women, to the outcast and the stranger. He was completely countercultural, and yet at the same time true to the calling of Israel to be the people of God. These verses 36 to 44 in Matthew 24 cut right into the middle of Jesus speaking to his disciples about the end of the age. The end of the age is that time when the world as we know it comes to an end and Jesus returns to this earth. He will come as a triumphant king, establishing his rule and reign of justice and righteousness with sovereign authority. So it might help us to know the context in which Jesus is saying these things before we continue. Jesus was in Jerusalem, the final destination after 3 years of ministry. He knew there would be a showdown with the religious authorities at Jerusalem's magnificent temple, this colossal building that looked like it would stand there forever. If you've been to Jerusalem's Wailing Wall, you will have seen the vast stones that remain from the last temple. And you'll have an idea that when Jesus suggested to his disciples the temple would be razed to ground so quickly, how unlikely they must have thought that would be. Just outside Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley, is the Mount of Olives. And it was there, we read earlier in chapter 24, that Jesus looked back over Jerusalem, talking to his disciples, and he'd been telling them that there would be those who come after him, claiming to be the Christ, the Anointed One, the Saviour of the world, but not to be deceived by them. Jesus tells his disciples of international conflicts, an increase in natural disasters, signs in the galaxy, after which there'll be an angelic trumpet call, heralding his appearance with power and great glory. Then Jesus, knowing how familiar they are with fig trees, tells them, "Now learn a lesson from the fig tree." I think he must have been an infant school teacher, actually. Learn a lesson from a fig tree. I'm sure they're puzzled. What's he going to say next? Well, just by looking at a fig tree, you can get an idea about the change in season and when there'll be more figs. So you do that without even thinking about it. Take note of things I've been telling you, says Jesus, so that you may know the signs of my return, and not just when there are figs that are going to be due. Matthew 24:36 continues with Jesus telling his disciples that no one, not even himself, knows when the trumpet call will be, but only the Father. What do you think to that? Wouldn't it be good to know a bit more precisely? Then we could check our calendars and be ready, even set an alarm on our phone. But you can get an idea, says Jesus in verse 37. Look at the way people in your culture are living their lives. Read the newspaper. Look at the TV listings. It will be just like it was in the days of Noah. So who knows the story of Noah? Beyond the familiar song about Noah building his ark and the animals coming in two by two, or was it seven by seven? Check the story. Do you think it was an ancient myth from which there is nothing for us to learn? You know, one of those oddball stories that the people who believe the Bible believe in. After all, other ancient cultures on every present landmass told similar stories about a great flood and a couple with their family on a boat. As Jesus tells his disciples that at the time of his coming again, it will be just like it was in the days of Noah, we should pay attention to the signs of our age. Does the public awareness campaign about air pollution tell us to wait before we get started replacing petrol and diesel with electric cars until there's incontrovertible evidence that the children in our cities are suffering life-changing consequences? Of course not. Some motor manufacturers have already switched, making only electric cars. It may take a while, but the world is acting. So, what is our response to the news of Jesus that he will return to judge us all at a great resurrection on the day that he returns? Are we reading the signs of our times and noting how strikingly human behavior is mirroring that which led to the first flood? Now is the day to repent, to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus, the Christ, the only Savior of the world, who gave up his life on a cross so that we might be forgiven and become inheritors of the kingdom of God. Without responding to Jesus, the Christ, whose message of salvation has been heard and rejected so many times, when he does come at that unexpected hour, it'll be too late to respond. So you also must be ready to have confidence on that day and also to have confidence today as one who lives your life under the rule and reign of God. Let us pray. Merciful God, who has given us the means of grace through your Son Jesus, preserve us from conforming to the world and accepting its desires. May we be ready when your Son returns or calls us home, living our lives after his example, even if it means being rejected as he was. May your light in us shine in the midst of darkness, and our lives reflect your glory. Amen.